You know, in the, I think it's in the book of Numbers, there's six cities of refuge, three on either side of the Jordan River, three on one side, three on the other. The purpose of the city of refuge was someone guilty of sin could go there and get asylum, safety. That's why we sing about that. Not about you, but guilty of sin, needed asylum. Thank the Lord for his mercy and grace that he showed us. Praise the Lord for those that New Testament picture of that, those cities of refuge. Tonight after service, there's a parent of teenager meeting in Mr. McDowell's classroom, and that's going on. I want to say something quick about the ladies' prayer meeting tomorrow. Over the last couple weeks, Mrs. Russo gave me the task of reaching out to not only all of our missionaries, but also contacting them about getting good contact information for their wives. And I expressed to each of our missionaries that our ladies are interested in communicating with you over this year. Our missionary men were thrilled with the thought that someone was thinking about their wife, and a church would consider them. I have a long list in my office of their contacts. I invite you to come out tomorrow night to get that, to be able to communicate, to be a blessing and encouragement. Again, if you can imagine their life willfully doing it, thankfully doing it, with grace and with kindness and love towards others. But could you imagine being away for so long without maybe a lot of connection back home, just knowing that another lady's thinking and praying for her? And I think that would go a long way. So I invite you to come out to a special prayer meeting for our ladies tomorrow and for our missionary wives. Proverbs chapter 16 tonight. Thankful for Sunday afternoons. So what do you mean? Just getting a little recharge and before the evening. And thankful for the opportunity to be back here in the Lord's house. Thankful that the lights are on, the heat's on, and appreciate that. Appreciate you being here. We go in the direction that we are appointed. Pretty straightforward. We had, I think, sixteen. How many were here on Saturday, Leo? Six of you. Six of you. They're taking their 5-hour pre-licensing course. How many of you remember that? Oh yeah, that was a blessing. And got to see that. And you know, they're telling them how all the rules of the road. Don't sleep, you know, while you're driving. Don't eat while you're driving. Don't get distracted while driving. You know, all of that kind of stuff. And they reminded them the direction that you point the vehicle is the direction in which it heads. So it is in our life. When we point our direction, listen now, this is a simple truth, but very important. When we point our life towards the Lord Jesus Christ, we are going to head towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a daily decision. Please understand. Say, yeah, I made that decision when I was 15. Now, yeah, but you're 45 and you still need to do that every single day. Just because you made a good decision back when doesn't mean you don't need to keep making that decision each and every day. If you point your direction towards the Lord and continue in that direction, I promise you, you are heading in the right direction. So that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. Over the last number of weeks, we've been talking about seeking God's will and His direction for our life here. We will conclude tonight by keeping in the right direction. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need you again tonight. God, it's Lord, we've sang many a song here tonight that just testify of your character and, Lord, what we were and who you are and your redemption. And, God, thank you for that symbol, that type of the city of refuge that we find in Jesus Christ. God, I'm thankful for the fact that I know that you'll hold on to me. God, as John chapter 10 tells us, that you will never let go. Lord, I'm thankful. Lord, until that day of redemption. Lord, I look forward to that. God, I pray that you'd bless our service here tonight. already have been ministered to in my soul. Lord, I pray again that you'd use your word in a mighty way now. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs chapter number 16. Often we portray the way of man being contrary to the ways of God. And the natural man, that is a true statement. The fleshly man, the fleshly natural tendencies, normally wants to go in a direction that is contrary to what the Word of God says. That's just our flesh, right? God says do this and we want to do that, right? I mean, that's just how it goes. But there is a way, as we look at Proverbs chapter 16, look at verse 9, it says this, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. There is an option that we can follow the direction of God, so much so that man's way and God's way are what we would call in tandem. Ever try, anybody ride any of those tandem bicycles where you have like two people on one bike? Ms. Rodell, were you? Oh, man, you and Brother Rodell on a tandem bike. Stop taking. We could pay off the building, brother. We could. That would be wonderful. I'd love to see it. I've seen them. They have like eight people on them. Ever see those ones? The big like party ones and anything. But anybody ever try those tandem bikes? Man, you didn't, Mrs. Hannon? Yeah. No, it didn't go very well. Was Michaela on the other end? Okay. All right. Oh. Okay. All right. Well. Good. You know, in our life, we can. Again, many a times we portray the ways of man being contrary to the ways of God. But let us be reminded, there is a decision as man that we can get in a line behind the Lord as he leads us and guides us. We don't have to be contrary to the word of God. Isn't that good to know? That every step I take doesn't have to be in violation to God's word. And every direction or every choice I make doesn't have to be in violation of God's will for my life. I can identify his will and head in that direction. I'm telling you, there's peace, there's joy. That's where you want to be. This verse, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. It's almost, I read that verse and it's almost like a person says, God, you've put these natural desires in my way. Can you lead me down that direction? Is this the way you want me to go? This is who I am. Will you take me that way? And each step of the way, the Lord is leading what he has equipped you with in your life. That's when the plan of man and the direction of God are in unison. There's a lot of things that have to work perfectly. Anybody have like a saltwater tank for fish? I remember Pastor Huber had that saltwater tank here. Where's Mrs. Huber? Remember that? That was a daily fight. He would spend hours trying to balance that little fish tank with the right salt to the right water. All of a sudden, you know, the fish are floating because there's too much salt. All of a sudden, they're sinking because there's none. You know, and just constant out of sorts, out of sync. Hey, there's a, you know, in our life, it feels like, man, I'm just always fighting against what God wants me to do. Hey, why don't you just find out what God wants you to do and start heading in that direction? That'll go a whole lot better instead of fighting all the time. Hey, there's a way that your plan and God's direction can go, listen now, in the same direction. So how do we do that? In obedience to the Word of God, by yielding yourself to the Holy Spirit of God. And then your plans and His plans, as you do what He wants you to do, it'll please Him. Man, that's the best life. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. God, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do. God says, great, I got a plan for you. Those thoughts turn into plans. Do you understand that? Commit thy works unto the Lord. God, whatever you want, I'll do. He says, all right, let's go this way. And all of a sudden, God begins to establish your thoughts or establish your plans. But how did that come? That came by yielding yourself to the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. Why don't we, instead of fighting against his will, work within his will and do what we already know to do? We want this grandioso plan of this amazing thing, and we're just waiting for that. And then when God calls us in, you know, we're waiting for that, you know, last second drive and put me in. No, he wants you to be in the game every day. He's not waiting just for the big moment. He wants you daily following him. He wants you daily yielding yourself to the Holy Spirit of God. He wants you daily considering the Word of God and what it has for you and the principles as we follow the basic biblical principles that we study throughout Scripture. Look at James chapter 4. Point number one here tonight, the plan of man can be in unison with the direction of God. James chapter 4 and verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good. That's the daily small things. That's the little things here and there. That's, you know, for our students. That's studying hard and doing that and memorizing your verses and participating as best you can and being faithful to the schoolhouse and doing all of that. Doing your best in gym class. I don't like gym class. I'm not an athlete. I like music. And hey, but do your best in that. And then one day you're in the workplace and hey, just do right. Do good. Yeah, I'm not a fan of my job. Yeah, well, that's your job today. And do it well. Do it good. We talked about that last week. Therefore, him that knoweth to do good. Because if you don't do that, to him it is sin. Again, we're waiting for this grand event to follow in this magnificent way of God. And God says, honestly, it's just in the daily things of doing right. Just doing good. Yeah, he may tap you, but you understand a lifetime of serving the Lord is a grand thing. It's a wonderful thing. Some of our young people are contemplating being full-time in the ministry. Hey, we're all full-time Christians. We ought to be full-time all the time. Why? Because as God directs us, we follow that plan. Please understand that the plan of man and the divine direction of God can be in unison, tandem, unity. That's how we ought to live, daily. I'll tell you, though, it's a unique plan. Say, why is it unique? Because we're all so unique. We're all so different. I didn't create me. I didn't say, all right, we're going to make this one 5'6 3/4. I had no say in that. I have a little say about the scale weight, but I mean, not about the height. I had no real say in my personality or my strengths and all my weaknesses. I didn't get a say in that, nor did you. And you know, God made you how he made you. Can I dare say perfectly? I see people trying to alter their appearance or alter their who they are. And man, there's a mess of identity out there. We've seen that, right? In sports, people don't know. These kids these days, they don't know whether I don't even know if they're a boy or girl. That's a mess. Well, God made me this way, but I feel, well, your feelings are wrong. I'm just telling you. I know what you ought to be. How do you know? Well, I mean, which room do you use? You know, I mean, you can figure it out. He made you personally, and I'm saying all that to say, God has a unique plan. Say, well, how do you know it's unique? Because we're all so, although we have so many interests and so many likenesses, we have so many differences also. There's not one personality that's right or better than another person. Well, this person's outgoing. Well, this person's a little more reserved. And oftentimes we try and take that reserved one and make them more outgoing. Or we take that outgoing person and we try and make them more reserved. Would you calm down? Just be quiet. And I understand there's a balance to being out of control on both ends. I get it. But try not to change the mold in which a God made you. He made you unique. He made you how you are. On purpose, for a purpose, for a plan. Look at Philippians chapter number 2. Not only is man's plan able to be in unison with God's direction, we don't have to fight God's will. I'm telling you, the greatest day of your life will be the day that you give up your will to do God's. It will be the lightest carrying burden day of your life. When you just say, I am tired of fighting. Listen, I am tired of fighting against the God of heaven. I'm just going to do what he made me to do. Ever use a tool that's not designed for that purpose? Yeah, you probably cut your hand or you smacked your finger or something. Why? Because it wasn't made to do that. You probably knocked down a fence or broke a tree or something. You put something through a window. You broke something. Why? Because you're using a tool not how. And so many times in our life, we try and take this tool that God designed for this, and we're trying to do this. It's the square peg in the round hole. It's just not fitting. Why? Because you're unique. And God designed you for a unique purpose. Look at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, look at the love he shares here. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Look at what he says. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Hey, what does that mean? That doesn't mean that you got to earn your salvation. That means figure out what it is that God has designed you to do and do that. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He's designed you to please him. And there will be the most amount of joy, there will be the most amount of peace in your life when you identify what that is and do that. And every day that is contrary to that, I promise you, you will be miserable. Because you are trying to take the square peg and jamming it into the round hole. It's a unique plan. The plan that God had for me is different than the plan that God has for you. So how do you know? Because we're all different. Yeah, we can run alongside each other, but we each have our own race. Bible says in verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Look at now, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. See, God has a plan. God had the desire for you to serve him. And he's saying, listen, when you serve me, you may even feel like it's insignificant. At the end, it will not be in vain. Your race will not be in vain. I've got a plan. I've got a will for you. It is unique, made just for you. I've worked around contractors and I think the world of those guys that can do it all. Seth, I think the world of the guys that can do the framing and electrical and the plumbing and the tile work and the finish work and the demo. And you go into those guys' trucks and it's, okay, this is my toolbox for plumbing. This is my toolbox for electrical. This is my toolbox for tile work. This is my, why? Because these tools don't work in this realm and you got to keep, why? So it is with us. Hey, this is what you've been designed to do. You bring the wrong toolbox to the wrong job, you're not going to get much done. And God says, I got something for you to do. And I've designed you uniquely. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. What's his plan? I'll tell you, he's got a plan for all of us. Is Pastor Seatman in here? Where is he? He left. Spanish church? No. I don't know. Where is Pastor? He's probably in the hall. Where's Mel? Oh, Mel's over here. I thought they went out for coffee or something. All right, very good. Romans 8:29. It says, don't let these words scare you. For whom he did foreknow. We love that God knows it all, right? And we get nervous as Baptist Christians reading foreknow and predestinate. Hey, God's omniscient. That means he knew everything in the past, knows everything right now, and he knows everything to come. Right? Yeah. Okay, great. We're not afraid of these words, right? For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed. Here's his plan for everybody. To be conformed to the image of his son. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. He wants us to be more like Christ. Yes, we each have a unique plan. But along the way, he desires that we conform to the image of Christ. God gave us that example. Go with me to Ephesians chapter number 2. Look at verse 10. The Bible says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." See, God, you're a workmanship of God. He made you unique. And that's not a bad thing. That's your strength. That's your personality. That's your talent. That's your gift. That's what makes you distinct. Bible even uses the word peculiar.
Yes, sir.
That's all right.
Yep.
Again, don't try and hide that. God made you how you are on purpose. On purpose. Keep in the right direction. Number one, the plan of man and the direction of God can be in unison. But understand that that plan is unique, designed personally for you. I'm thankful for the gifts and talents that the Lord has given to so many around here. Music over here, the music over there. Man, Brother Sutliff, if it was up to you and I, we'd be in trouble. Wouldn't sound good at all. I don't know how many times we could sing Chopsticks. I don't know if that's even a song. Man, I'm thankful for the talents and the gifts that God has, and you acknowledging that, developing that, and then using that for the honor and glory of God. I'm thankful for our Sunday school teachers. Was it last week I filled in for Brother Rice? Was it last week you were out? Maybe it was 2 weeks ago. I don't know. It all kind of blurs. When was it, Isaac? You were in there. Was it last week?
2 weeks ago.
All right. I'll tell you, there was a time when I can't do what he does. They're like, "Yeah, Dad, you were all right, but Brother Rice is better." I get it. I understand. Hey, he's designed for that up there. Man, he's got them doing Simon Says and jumping up and down. I'm just like, hey, what do you think about the... when Moses was in the desert, right, you know, do you think he thought of it? And I'm trying to challenge their intellect, and they're just like, what? And Brother Rice is like, "All right, right hand, touch your nose," and he's doing all this stuff. Designed right for that. I was telling Brother Naparella today, man, I'll wash toilets, I'll change toilets, I'll clean out the septic system, but please do not make me go in that nursery. Please, I don't know what to do with those little people. They're wonderful to hold, but then all of a sudden they start getting a little, man, that. And then you know what he says? He says, "My wife loves it in there." Good. Designed uniquely. God's got a plan for your life. He's got, and it's a unique plan because we're all unique. The personality, the talents, the gifts that he's given you, he made you that way on purpose. What you may see as a weakness, God says, "I can use that for my honor and glory." We look at people like Gideon, someone who was fearful and so humbled and so meek and so. And God says, "Oh, I'm going to make a big deal of that. That's why I'm going to use you, Gideon. So everybody knows that it was God that worked this. And he took his weakness and it made it a strength." Please understand that he does that with you. God didn't make a mistake with you. We get into great danger when we compare our life to somebody else and say, "Well, I'm not as good as that." Hey, you just be you. And you take those gifts and talents and you use everything you have to in your disposable for the honor and glory of God. That's what we ought to do. Number two, unique plans. Number three, make plans with God. Tonight after church, we got two of the young guys coming over. Game starts at, it's already going, second game. And they're going to come over, and we got three pizzas we're ready to eat. We got Canada Dry so we don't get hopped up on caffeine. We've made plans. Going to have some young guys over after church. Do you make plans with the Lord? Well, you know, I kind of make plans around Him. No. Do you make plans with God? Do not make plans for your life. Listen, do not make plans in your life without God. If what you are planning to do, God has no spot in, you've made a bad decision. I'll just help you right there. Your life without the Lord is a bad decision. Philippians chapter 2, let's go back there. I asked someone to set an alarm to say when I'm done. Appreciate their help. I don't know what that was. You don't have to point them out. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Make plans with God. It goes on to say, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Complaining and arguing with God, I'm telling you, that's one argument you will not win. You can't go to the Lord and say, God, I think you've made a mistake. Has parents ever make a mistake? Any parents make a mistake? Can you raise your hand to make me feel better? All right, good. Okay, thank you. You're all like, yeah, sometimes. No, I want you to own up to it because I do all the time. You understand that God never makes a mistake? God never forgets. God never overlooks. And we can't say, God, your plan for me was an ill-directed plan. No, it's never like that. We have no complainings or no disputings or no murmurings with God's will for our life. Because we know that will always be the best plan. God's plan for your life will always be the best plan. By our arguing and complaining and fighting against that, it just shows a lack of trust on our end. In Isaiah chapter 1, does he not? Go there. Isaiah chapter 1, look at verse 18. Isaiah 1, 18. Isaiah 1, 18 says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Was he not invited? Hey, he wants us to try and understand his point of view. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be white as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat of the good of the land. See what that says? If you do what I say, it's going to go good for you. It doesn't go so well if you go against it, but if you refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, and the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Pretty much, that's what he said. So you can go ahead and argue, and you can go ahead and fight against God, but if God gives you direction in your life and say, you know what, I want to go this way, just like Jonah did, God said go this way, and he went that way, that's not going to go good for you. Psalm chapter number 2, and we're almost done. Psalm chapter number 2. Psalm chapter 2, verse 1. Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth, look at now, set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointing, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. I'm just here to tell you, it doesn't go well for them. When you fight against God, you always lose. There are no exceptions. So, I just want to help you here tonight. Young people, listen to this. Make plans with God. Ask God. Say, God, what do you want for my life? And then just do it. Say, yeah, but I want to be a professional. I don't care what you want. I know that sounds insensitive. It's not. It's to save you from a world of troubles. I'm telling you the best place to be. Don't argue. Don't take counsel together. Well, my buddy says that the Lord doesn't know, and who cares what your buddy says? You're going against the God of heaven. I'm telling you, make plans with the Lord. Don't complain. Don't argue. Do it to the best of your ability. Why? Because we're to be light in darkness. Don't just be a missionary there, be a missionary here. Don't be just a witness. Oh, when I get older, I'm going to be a witness over there. Be a witness for God right here. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I love our young people, just trying to help you out. I mean, this row right here, you're not too young for this stuff. You know what the will of God is for your life, Daniel? Right now, obey your parents. That's it. You do that, that'll set you up for great success in years to come. Just get through your teen years in obedience to your parents. I'm telling you, save your world of trouble. Nate? Just do your best, buddy. Sir, just love the Lord, obey your parents, all right? Do it. Do your schoolwork well. Hey, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I love these guys. These are our future right here, right? Pretty soon they're going to be running the world, and you better get in good with them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5, it says, ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Hey, we got the light of Christ living inside of us. You want to make plans with God? Take the light of Christ to the dark places. Today, not just tomorrow, not someday when I graduate from Bible school or when I get an opportunity. Every single day, be a missionary. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Hey, take the light to those that don't have it. Make plans with the Lord. Take the light of Christ into the darkness. Remember this, time is short. Last passage. James chapter 5, almost last passage. It's really close to the last verses. James chapter 4, I know we read verse 17. I want to look at verse 13. Go to now, ye that say tomorrow, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Remember this simple truth. Time is short. Heard a great message Friday morning, Brother Tony Shirley. He was preaching and he says, today matters. Today matters. So often we're waiting for the big thing or something to come. Hey, time is short. Today matters. I'm glad you're here tonight. This could be the message that just logs away. Listen, young men, this could be the message that just logs away in your head. That when the fork in the road comes, just for some reason, something stuck tonight, and you just decided, whatever God wants, I want to do. You might not remember all the points, you might not remember the night, what you were wearing, who you were sitting next to, but that thought got in. Why? Because today mattered and you were here. Hey, remember this, time is short. Rely on the Lord, not on self-confidence. God's will is for today. What is God's will? This is the conclusion of the entire thing. Becoming more and more like Christ. Galatians 2:20. Grab Galatians 2:20 and 1 John 2:6. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. That's how I live today. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh. That's present day. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Hey, God's will is that you become more and more like Christ. Point your life in the direction of the Lord. Why? At least you're heading in the right direction. First John chapter 2, last verse. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Abide in him. Walk with the Lord every single day. Are you wondering what God has for your life? Maybe in the future, a new job, maybe Christian service, maybe a spouse. Keep your life pointed in the direction of the Lord. I'm just going to try and don't be peripheral. Get all in all the time. Allow God to guide and direct every decision. Understand that you are unique, uniquely made for His purpose and His plan. Again, God has not made one single mistake. The only mistake is that we try and take our life and go do something that God has not designed it to do. That's why it's so hard. God tells us that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Hey, if in your life you're tired of fighting against what the will of God is for your life, if you know and you've been fighting against that thing, in a moment we're going to have the altar. Why don't you open up the altar? Why don't you just come forward and say, God, I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of going against this thing. I want to get in unison. I want to live that life of peace. I want to have that joy. I want to have that confidence. Maybe you've been trying to fight against what God has designed. That you think God in your life made a mistake. That your character isn't right. Somehow your personality is flawed. The talents He's given you isn't what you want. How about you come yield all of that for His honor and glory tonight? And thirdly, make this decision. No matter what decision I make, it's going to be with God. You make a decision without God, I'm telling you, you're making the wrong decision. Let's all stand. Where are you headed? Say, I don't know. I know exactly where you're headed. Why? Because of where you're pointed. If you're pointed towards the Lord, you're headed, listen, in the right direction. I don't know the final destination, but I know this. You're going in the right direction. You point your way, you point your direction away from the Lord. I know this. You're going in the wrong direction. In your life, I ask that you consider this. Point your life towards the Lord. Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless this time of invitation now. God, if you stirred in someone's heart tonight, maybe someone will come and just yield their life to you and just say, God, I'm tired of fighting against what you have for me. Lord, I just give up. Lord, just lead me and show me. I want my thoughts, my plans to be your plans. Lord, help me. God, I pray you bless this time of invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here tonight?